As we begin our second hour of Get Up This Morning, we remind you, you can send us your videos. Use the hashtag Rise and Shine of the ways you're keeping busy during this experience in all of our lives, athletically or otherwise. And get a load of the big man. Damian Woody set the internet on fire with this TikTok this weekend. Guys, Marcus, how good is this?
It's so good. Wood is a big athlete. I think sometimes y'all get it twisted and think us big boys don't have feet like running backs and we don't have coordination. This is Wood showing everybody that in order to play in the NFL, you gotta have this.
Dan.
What I want to know is Marcus just said us big boys. So now that Woody's come out with one, I am expecting Marcus Spears grace us with his own TikTok.
Absolutely. And we are all looking forward to that. As we are looking forward to another hour of Get Up, which starts right now. Here comes the menu for hour number two. We're going to get up with Dak Prescott. Graziano has the very latest on the contract. It will completely change your mind on how this is going to end. It changed mine. Plus, Cam Newton, the league is sending him a message. Is he willing to listen to it? We'll tell you what it is. And then I will explain why this is going to be the most important season of Bill Belichick's career. I've got numbers. They're going to surprise you. All that and more in this hour of Get Up, which starts right now with Get Up and Go through some of the news of the day, including just this morning, the International Olympic Committee officially rescheduling the Tokyo Olympics for next summer. The opening ceremony will now be held July 23rd of 2021. Olympic officials have also confirmed all the approximately 6,200 athletes who qualified for 2020 will keep their spots next year, making the best of a bad situation. Elsewhere, good news from the NBA. Celtics guard Marcus Smart announcing last night on social media he has been cleared by the Massachusetts Department of Health. He had tested positive for COVID-19 2 weeks ago. Meanwhile, it was announced on Saturday that the owner of both the New York Knicks and Rangers, James Dolan, tested positive for the coronavirus. In a statement, the Madison Square Garden company said the 64-year-old Dolan has been in self-isolation and is experiencing little to no symptoms. All right, other news. We haven't gotten to this today. We learned last week the Cowboys and Dak Prescott have resumed contract talks after being dormant for months. 2 weeks ago, Dallas employed the exclusive franchise tag on Dak. First time in history they've done that with a quarterback. Again, it is a very rare occasion to see a quarterback getting the franchise tag. And so I want to bring Graziano back into this because the notes were really good from you, Dan, over the weekend. I know you've made a bunch of calls. What is the latest on Dak and the deal?
Yeah, Greeny, as you said, they resumed conversations about this extension last Monday. They have continued to talk since. Each side is encouraged by, you know, the attitude of the other. I think both sides feel like there's a deal to be done and that they want a deal done. Neither side believes any deadline has been missed. July 15th is the deadline for teams to negotiate a long-term deal with their franchise player, or else they're not allowed to do it until after the season ends. So they have some time to figure this out. There are a couple things at play. Number one, they don't know exactly how much the exclusive franchise tag for quarterbacks is worth yet. That number isn't even officially set until April 17th, and it could differ by about $3 million depending on when the restructures of other deals, Kirk Cousins, Ben Roethlisberger, were done. So they're waiting for clarity on that from the NFL and the NFLPA. And then in terms of the overall numbers, you hear a lot of things thrown around. Our understanding is that the Cowboys' current offer would make Dak Prescott the highest paid player in the league in terms of average annual value, but that's not really how players and agents necessarily look at deals. Look at the Ryan Tannehill deal with the Titans that was done by the same agent that Dak Prescott has. It pays him $62 million fully guaranteed at signing over the first 2 years and practically assures him $91 million fully guaranteed over the first three. You would think that Dak would be looking at a structure somewhat similar to that, albeit at higher numbers given what he's accomplished. So a lot of moving parts here, but I think the key point is they're both sides are intent on getting a deal done at some point between now and July 15th.
No, and I think that the key point is they're already in a place where the average annual value is as high as you could ever imagine the player wanting it to be. Now they're figuring out the length and the structure. Dan Graziano, well done. So let me get a quick thought from Orlovsky and Marcus Spears, who are with me this morning. This changed my perspective on it. I've wondered all along, do they really want to bring him back? Now that I hear this, now they're just tinkering over the mechanics of the deal, it seems to me to be a near certainty, Marcus, that they will get it done.
Yeah, they will get it done, G. And we've said that. We've talked about why is this taking so long. But I don't think any of us were out on the fact that Dallas and Dak would get a contract done unless it was Dallas trying to lowball what Dak thought he would get. The guaranteed money is all I heard from Dan G just now, from Graz, because that's all that matters. The shorter term deal, will I see the majority of my check and making sure that I gross or net whatever I want to net at the end of this thing and when it's all over. And that's really what it boils down to in the NFL now. We look at all of these 3-year deals that are being done in free agency. That's because guys are realizing that's really all the money that I'm going to make. So the guaranteed is becoming more of what the contract is about than the contract and what the numbers actually say on television.
Danny?
Well, my questions are, one, if they're offering him a contract that is the most money on average over the course of the contract, why hasn't Dak signed it? Two, are they not offering him more than what the Titans paid Ryan Tannehill? Is that the hesitation? And three, if the real sticking point is the length of the contract, well, who's going to budge then? Like, who, if that's the big thing, is if it's a 4-year deal or a 5-year deal, which part of this is going to budge? Are the Cowboys going to give in to him, or is he going to give in to the Cowboys? I don't understand why this is so hard for both these parties to get it done.
I don't either, but at the end of the day, if they're putting 60 or 70 million guaranteed dollars on the table, there's no conceivable chance you turn that down by the time you get to July 15th to play for 28, and that's all you're guaranteed for the rest of your life at that point. We'll see. One way or another, it changed my view on it. I was thinking it may not get done now. I feel very certain it will. Elsewhere, let's stay within the NFL with another quarterback, and that's Cam Newton, who, of course, remains arguably the biggest name left in free agency. And for Cam, the question is if he's healthy. The 2015 MVP has tried to answer that by posting multiple videos of himself working out and throwing on Instagram, and I loved this caption he put up there. People love a good underdog story, and this isn't that, because it isn't. And one possible landing spot, of course, for Cam is in L.A. with the Chargers, which made this photo that Tyrod Taylor posted of the two of them working out together so interesting, because Tyrod Taylor is currently number one on the Chargers quarterback depth chart. So I'm going to do it on the clock here. I'm putting 60 seconds on the clock, and I want to run through a bunch of different topics here. Orlovsky, we'll start with you. What is Cam Newton's future in the NFL short-term go?
Yeah, short-term, Greeny, it's going to be for a backup quarterback role. And that's the question, two questions that Cam needs to ask. What is he looking for financially, and what is he looking for role-wise? Because the NFL right now is telling Cam Newton, as of today, they do not see him as a week one starter on a football team. So he's probably going to have to wait till after the draft, see what teams are willing to offer him an opportunity to be a part of their football team, and maybe adjust the way he's thinking at the 2020 season.
Marcus?
The medicals are telling us Cam is not a starter right now. I believe he is in this evaluation process. Like I said before, was the same in the general evaluation process. I believe Cam would be a starter for somebody, or at least go into camp competing for a starting position. He's just behind the eight ball, G. That's all it boils down to because of his health.
Yes, if he's healthy, to me, he beats out almost anyone in a quarterback competition, right? I mean, how many people are better than he is? The medicals are everything, and right now no one can tell for certain. All right, 60 more seconds on the clock. Same question, another number one overall draft pick. Dan Orlovsky, where will Jameis Winston wind up this offseason?
Green, you could really say any team. I still think the Pittsburgh Steelers will be the place that he goes. And it's very similar to the Cam situation. But for Jameis Winston, what role are you willing to accept? And Jameis needs to realize that just because the journey isn't what he thought it was going to be doesn't mean he can't get back to his original destination. He can still become the bona fide number one pick starting quarterback in the NFL. It just might take him a different route. Go, be willing to be a backup, learn from somebody, not have the pressure to go win games, and start to rewrite the narrative around you. Start to rewrite the story of your career. But he's got to get it in his mind that that is okay.
Swagoo.
What if I said this, G, and I know this is a new scenario. What if the New Orleans Saints was a fit for Jameis Winston? Obviously, Drew Brees growing in age. I know that they're telling us their soul on Taysom Hill, but are they really? Jameis has been in that division. Maybe Sean Payton thinks that he can take in Jameis Winston and work on him. That could be another destination with an aging quarterback.
We will have Sean Payton live on this show tomorrow. And by the way, this must be an LSU thing, because Booger made that suggestion here on Friday. that maybe New Orleans would be a fit, and it's an interesting one. I got one more. 60 seconds on the clock. They're going to vote today, the owners, we think, on whether or not they will add a team in each conference to the playoffs this year. So 14 teams in the NFL playoffs. Swagoo, you like it or not?
I like it. I like it, G. I like the fact that teams can get hot at the end of a season and possibly go in the playoffs and wreck everything. That brings on more excitement. Some people won't like it. Some people will say, well, you earn your spot in the playoffs. If you get in there at the seventh spot and you earn the spot to be in there to, in order to compete to try to go to a Super Bowl, it can happen. This is the NFL. 3 hours on any given day, Saturday, Sunday, or whatever day the game is played, any team can win, and that is the NFL, and it only adds to the excitement.
Dan?
Yeah, I don't love it, Greeny, just because there's going to be some unintended consequences. I think we're going to miss out on some teams having their opportunity to make championship runs. The NFL season's a bloodbath, and that bye week for really good teams, especially ones that are aging teams, is massive. And for a team to go 13-3 potentially, and then not to get that bye and really lose a game because they're beat up, is going to be unfortunate for fans.
The other thing I'll say quickly is that one of the things that has made the NFL the extraordinary success it is the importance of the regular season. It's why I always argue against expanding the college playoffs, because the playoffs in college football start in August, and hopefully they'll start as soon as possible this year. But you understand the point that I'm making. Once you start watering that down, you run a lot of risks. I think there are the potential for unintended consequences here as well. Let's leave it there and move on to other things. There's a million things I want to get to today, including this. We want to see LeBron and Zion and all the other NBA stars back on the court. You will hear coming up what they're going to do in China and see if that is the blueprint for how the basketball here can and will come back. Meanwhile, if the Dolphins take Tua in the NFL draft, they're going to have to move up to get him. We'll tell you why they're in the right position to do exactly that in this hour of Get Up on ESPN.
Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
There may be no games,
no practices,
no high fives,
but we're all still part of a team,
and we all have a role to play.
Right now, that means keeping our distance,
but still checking on each other,
helping the most vulnerable,
and supporting our heroes
that are keeping us safe.
Sports may be paused,
but the best parts
are needed now more than ever.
So let's all do our part to help our team
right now.
We continue on Get Up. It is day 19 of the NBA hiatus as the U.S. continues to battle the COVID-19 pandemic. The NBA continuing its efforts to restart the league. Not sure exactly when or where or how that will take place. But our insider, Brian Windhorst, was on our program in the last hour talking about what may be coming next.
The reality is that not only when it comes back, is there not going to be any fans, but there's a decent chance that they're going to have to look at centralizing teams. It is what the Chinese are doing with their league, and they're facing a four-month delay to get it done. Over the weekend, the Premier League, there were reports out of England that the Premier League, you know, the leading league in the world for soccer, is thinking about doing the exact same things in the Midlands in England, basically out in the rural areas. And I think this is what the NBA is going to have to seriously look at, is centralized locations. LeBron shot down the concept of this idea last week. Other players that I have talked to don't like it, but it is what the reality is. The hard thing, the number one thing, is to get the players protected and to keep them healthy, and you can't travel to do it, and you've got to create like a tunnel for them to stay in. And that's why I think it's going to have to be maybe not at one place, but it may be a couple centralized locations.
It's a really interesting thought. And there he is, the most interesting man in the world, Jalen Rose. And, you know, Jalen, he referenced LeBron's comments. And obviously, LeBron has such a loud voice when it comes to things like this. And LeBron said, and understandably, there's no way in the world he wants to be away from his family and the people that he loves during this unprecedentedly uneasy time. Everyone gets that. That said, if this is the only way to play an NBA season, it'll be an interesting push and pull. What would you think about the idea of taking all of the NBA players, basically putting them in one or two cities or some place away from everyone else and trying to play out something of a season?
I like the NBA doing whatever it takes to get us basketball back out on the floor, completing the regular season as close as possible, and then getting us to the playoffs so we can ultimately see who's going to win the championship this year. And also for the league, Greeny, it's an actual chance to reset its calendar, and here's what I mean. If people had complaints about the NBA, they always felt like either they played too many games or the season was too long. Instead of starting in October, this is now a chance to start the season in November, if not earlier in December. I never liked the fact that free agency happened after the draft. I wish that was a reset. And also, I never liked the fact that you can buy out players when the trade deadline is already taking place. So these are a few things that the NBA has a chance to really reset. But I like what Wendy's saying. I understand LeBron's concern and a lot of other players' concern. But this is the new reality that we got to do something that we haven't done ever.
At least for the moment. I want to go back on both parts of that. Because it's not the first time we've heard someone suggest that maybe trying to play this into the summer, the NBA's new normal, whenever we emerge on the other side of this, being readjusting the calendar and playing the playoffs in the summer and the finals, maybe in July or in August. Generally speaking, you would be in favor of that?
Absolutely. Basketball is a summer game. That's when we grow up playing outside at the park, in the backyard, in the YMCA. It takes place in the summer. So the fans will be just as excited for the finals to be in early June, in theory, as they probably will be in early August. It's the exact same thing, but it elongates the season, and it now gets the beginning of the season to create more enthusiasm because you're not going against the midpoint of the NFL when you're starting in early October. I love this for the NBA. Reset the calendar. This is a perfect opportunity to start doing that going forward.
It's a good and interesting discussion. The other piece of it, of course, is, again, the idea of bubble cities. Brian Windhorst told us that the Chinese League, they have 20 teams. They're playing all of the games in two cities. They have two cities, and they're all playing their games in one or the other, and they basically keep those players isolated from practically everybody else. You think at the end of the day the NBA players would be willing to do that?
I think so. And here's what makes this unique. Unlike baseball, their players haven't gotten their checks because the season hasn't started. The NBA players have gotten the lion's share of their pay. So really, it will be asking teams that aren't going to the playoffs to finish off the regular season so you can get the local television money. That's around 70 games. And then you're asking the players who earned the right to be in the playoffs to actually go into the playoffs and compete for an NBA championship. That is something I think each of the players would understand that this is a unique circumstance and would be willing to do.
All right, we'll see if that is where it winds up going. Meanwhile, I wanted to end it with a smile. I want everyone to feast their eyes and Jalen, get your read on the big fella, Damian Woody, and his TikTok from the weekend. Let's take a look.
D-Wood!
What do you think?
D-Wood up to no good! I see you exercising them cores, big fella. Spending some family time, getting it in. They going real slow so you can keep up. But I ain't mad at it at all. I am not mad at it at all. That guy is just so warm, so fuzzy, so loving. Unlike the guy that my Detroit Lions gave a big offseason contract to, and then in the offseason, he punches one of his teammates in the helmet and hurts his hand before he even plays a game for my squad. The same squad, Greeny, that has Tua right there. Right there. You talking about Miami. You talking about all these teams that need a franchise quarterback. What about the Detroit Lions? Do you know some of the quarterbacks that I've watched over the history of my life?
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford is the greatest quarterback along with Bobby Lane in the history of the franchise. And Tua's right there. It's great to see D-Will living his best life.
That was everything I was hoping it would be and much more. Jalen, hugs to you and Molly. Thank you very much, my man. I will see you as soon as possible. Meanwhile, from 64 to 2, today in the noon Eastern Sports Center, we reveal the finalists in our college basketball greatest player bracket, where you, the fans, have voted and determined the top two. We'll need you to continue voting by going to SportsCenter on Instagram and Twitter to pick greatest player. Speaking of picking great players, all signs point to the Dolphins really wanting Tua. Dan Orlovsky knows exactly what they'll need to do to make that happen, and he'll tell you next, right after this moment from Sneaky Hembo. This one's for Graziano. Who is Nick Saban's highest drafted quarterback as a college head coach? That's the question, and the answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Tomorrow morning here on Get Up, I will talk with New Orleans Saints head coach Sean Payton about his recovery from COVID-19, about his team's offseason, and much more. Plus, who takes Tua in Todd McShay's latest mock draft? All that and more when you get up with us, 8 a.m. Eastern, tomorrow here on ESPN. Meanwhile, Graziano, Hembo has called you out. Here's this morning's question. Who is Nick Saban's highest drafted quarterback as a collegiate head coach?
So a couple things here. One, I want it known that I got the last hour's question right. North Carolina is the most Final Four teams. Hembo can verify that. I texted him with that answer. So I am 1-0 off camera. On camera, I know he's sneaky. I think that Jamarcus Russell was recruited by Nick Saban at LSU and may have played for him there early in his career. So since I don't have a better guess, I'm going to say Jamarcus Russell, who was number one overall.
That's an excellent guess. It isn't correct, but I like the thinking. The correct answer is Tony Banks.
Who went higher than one?
Tony Banks, who played under Saban at Michigan State and was drafted 42nd overall. That's really the point here, that Saban has never had a quarterback drafted higher than that. That, of course, is going to change by the end of April, which leads us to the biggest storyline of the NFL draft. Tua Tagovailoa and where he will get selected. In Mel Kiper's latest mock draft, Tua was projected to go number 5 to the Dolphins. But will he be available at number 5, or do the Dolphins need to make a move? Once and for all, let's take a closer look at this, because Orlovsky has sort of wants to get up on almost a little miniature soapbox here and try and make his case as to how he sees this thing playing out. Orlovsky, I will give you the floor.
Yeah, Greeny, and maybe Graziano can fill in some blanks here when I'm done, but I think the Dolphins will have to and definitely will move up to go get Tua Tagovailoa. Number one, this is the organization that, I don't know, 12 or 13 years ago passed on the opportunity to bring in Drew Brees because of fear of injury. And ever since that decision, they've been trying to find their Drew Brees. Number two, last year they traded away Minka Fitzpatrick for a first-round pick and Laremy Tunsil for a first-round pick. They did not trade away good players to just go acquire other good players. They traded away those good players to acquire draft picks to make sure they were equipped to go get the player that they wanted to go get this year. And then number three, imagine this world where they sit back this year and take three or their three first-round picks and someone jumps them to go get Tua. And with those three picks, they go on to win, I don't know, 7 or 8 games next year. Then next draft, they'll be going into year 3 of a rebuild without a quarterback and asking the same question they are this year. Who is going to be our franchise quarterback? For those three reasons, Greeny, I don't think there's any chance that the Dolphins are going to sit there at 5 and hope that Tua falls to them. They will go get Tua.
I like it. Graziano, what do you think?
Well, there's a lot of things at work here, Greeny. And number one, I think in the Dolphins' best-case scenario, they would trade up to number one with the Bengals and take Joe Burrow. I just don't think the Bengals are going to move that pick, no matter what the Dolphins offer them, so they have to figure out what else they can do. I think you may have to go from 5 to 3 if you're the Dolphins to get the quarterback of your choice. I think the mystery is Tua Tagovailoa that quarterback for the Miami Dolphins? Because coming out of the combine, there were teams that had significant medical questions left over about Tua. Not just how is his hip healing, but what is his long-term durability because of that injury, because of some other injuries he's had. If the Dolphins were that kind of team, if they were one of those teams that had that kind of question, and I'm not sure 100% if they were. But if they were, they have to evaluate, what do they need to do? Do you want to move up? Do you want to use multiple first-round picks to go from 5 to 3 to take a quarterback that you're not sure is going to be the healthy enough to be your long-term answer? Do you stay put and look at someone like Justin Herbert or Jordan Love? Remember, the Dolphins tried to have Tua in for a visit, but they weren't able to get it together before the league decided to shut down all pre-draft visits.
Yeah, Laura has suggested in her reporting on this, and again, she's as tied into the medicals as anyone, that the Dolphins are a team that seems to be interested, but that doesn't necessarily mean they feel comfortable with all of the medicals as they stand. Marcus, what do you think?
Look, we're dealing with probabilities here, and that's the issue. Obviously, we use the Breeze in context. Dr. Andrews did the surgery, said the shoulder was fine with Drew Breeze, and, you know, the rest is history. With Tua, different situation, man, because, look, here's the caveat. You're drafting Tua for the next 10, 15, maybe 20 years to play this position. What is his availability going to be like? That's the question that all of these teams are trying to answer. It's not about going up and drafting Tua number at the 2 spot or the 3 spot. It's long-term in our organization, we are going to make a decision for a quarterback that we want to carry our franchise and usher him into a new era. That's the decision. It's easy to go up and say, hey, let's go take Tua at number 3. But you're weighing the future of the franchise for a long time if you draft Tua and his durability is still in question. That's the issue that teams are having. The talent, his ability, is no question you go up and get him. But is that going to carry over to what we're trying to do as an organization long term?
Yeah, this is why it's the most interesting question in the league, because Orlovsky, every point you made at the beginning was exactly right. The flip side of it is, if you give up everything that you have earned for this guy and he doesn't stay healthy, then you have set yourself back terribly. We're all going to find out, because for the 41st straight year, the NFL draft will be on ESPN this year. We'll also be on the NFL Network, and the College Game Day crew will be on ABC again this year, covering it from the college perspective. It all starts Thursday, April 23rd, and runs for 3 days there, with all 3 days on ESPN Deportes, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app as well. As we continue, Baker Mayfield and Dak Prescott have had very different off seasons. One has reason to be hopeful. The other, maybe not so much. We'll explain next. Get up on ESPN.
Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
We are back on Get Up, and the NFL's offseason has been a very busy one, as it always is. And while it is not yet concluded, we are at a reasonable time to pause. Swagu, to this point, who's been your biggest winner?
Man, the Arizona Cardinals and DeAndre Hopkins. Obviously, you add him to Larry Fitzgerald already being there. Christian Kirk is there. Kenyon Drake in the backfield. Kyler Murray obviously coming off a really good rookie season. Now you give this up-tempo air raid offense a dominant receiver. It's crazy.
They could be really good. Dan, who's your winner?
Green, I'm going to say the Cleveland Browns. The hiring of Kevin Stefanski and then general manager Andrew Berry were really two good moves, well-respected people. And then obviously the three additions to their football team in Conklin at offensive line and Austin Hooper at tight end. And then Case Keenum was a well-respected backup. I also think this, their starting quarterback has been very quiet this offseason. Tells me he's focused on his job.
I like it. Swagoo, how about your biggest loser?
Well, ideally it would be the Houston Texans, but I'm going to go with the Ravens losing Michael Brockers. I thought this was a great signing for the Baltimore Ravens, one of those fringe Super Bowl teams for all intents and purposes. Adding what Michael Brockers was able to bring to the Rams during their run in the 3-4, they mix it in hybrid. I thought he would have been great for Wink Martindale, but the fact that they lost it, I think that's a huge loss.
And how about you, Danny? Who's your biggest loser?
Yeah, Greeny, I think it's the Dallas Cowboys. First of all, you lose three of your better players in Robert Quinn, Jones, and then Travis Frederick retiring. And then the second thing is this. We know that they overpaid for Amari Cooper because they let him hit free agency. And now from everything that we're hearing, they're going to overpay for Dak Prescott as well. That's a tough offseason for that organization.
Yeah, a team that was 8-8 in a bad division and didn't make the playoffs last year. Meanwhile, we're bringing back some of the greatest Monday Night Football games. Tonight we'll start with that record-breaking game from two seasons ago, Mahomes against Goff, the Chiefs, and the Rams. If you don't remember it, I'll just tell you this. There were a lot of points scored. You'll see it tonight, 8 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. I also wanted to get the guys' reaction to this. Even with the recent deal between baseball and its Players Association, a lot of questions about when and how they will start their season and conclude it. Both sides say they're open to many possibilities to try and get in as many games as possible. Earlier this morning, Mark Teixeira had this idea.
Extra inning games get really boring. They can get really long. They can mess up a pitching staff for weeks. And so forget about just the doubleheaders. I think the regular season, you should have games end after 10 innings. And Major League Baseball can really think about this in the next season and beyond to help the rosters, make sure you're not burning too many pitchers, and also keep the game moving.
That was Mark Teixeira live earlier this morning here on Get Up. He sent that to me in a note over the weekend. Now, I have been saying for years, going back to my days on Mike and Mike, that they should have, whether it's 10 innings or 12 innings, they should end a baseball game and not be terrified of the notion of it ending in a tie. Dan Orlovsky, your thoughts?
Yuck. Get the ties out of here, Greeny and Teixeira. Teixeira, no wonder you live in Greenwich. The tie to play a game and to end it in a tie. We can't think of a better option than ending in a tie. I'd rather not play than end games in ties, Greeny. Get them out of here. Think of something better than that.
Swaggoo?
Gee, I love the idea. They play a million games a season in baseball. And the thing about these guys, obviously using the construction of your pitchers, trying to keep those guys healthy and fresh for next game. You play again in less than 24 hours, usually in Major League Baseball. This is the one sport where I would say you need to think about at some point the game needs to be over or you won't have any guys to throw the damn baseball the next day.
Yes, and they play games so long sometimes the next one could start in 15 minutes. Yeah. So, Orlovsky, let's take your idea to its logical conclusion while you're busy geographically shaming Mark Teixeira for no obvious reason. Let me ask you this. Would you want to throw together like a home run derby at the end of 10 innings or something like that? Like, what are we doing to decide a game if it's still tied?
Yeah, something like that where you get a certain amount of pitches or a certain amount of swings and whoever racks up the most bases or something. But, like, you don't have to play full innings. Obviously, soccer does their penalty kicks, but you should not end the game on a tie. Ending a baseball game could be easy. I mean, figure out, hey, you pick one batter and you pick one batter, the first one to make contact on the least amount of pitches or something like that. You can only throw fastballs. I don't know. Smart bait. Where's Kirkton when you need him? But you're not ending the game on a tie. That is weak and
I
corny.
Hate it. I hate it. I hate all of this contrived nonsense. I don't like the way college football does its overtime. I play the game, and if it ends in a tie, I don't know. They ended games in college football for 100 years in ties, and to the best of my knowledge, nothing terrible ever happened as a result of it. Swaggoo, final word.
My final word is, Dan, get the hell out of here. Until you pitch 99 times and then you got to pitch again in 30 minutes 99 more times, you tell these dudes not to end the game in a tie. And they make quadruple the money we make. Give these dudes a break.
Man, right. You've gotten soft. You've gotten soft in retirement. You've gotten soft.
All right, wait. We have Stephen A. Smith coming up here, so I'll take a brief pause, and then I'll mention that after we wrap up Get Up, time for First Take. We saw Cam Newton working out this weekend as he looks for a new team. Which team needs him, and will he be a starter week one? Stephen A. and Max will talk about that and more. It's First Take following us here on ESPN. It is probably the most asked question in the NFL over the last two decades. Is it Brady or is it Bill? Who is most responsible for the unprecedented run of success the Patriots have enjoyed over 20 years? Maybe this year we'll finally find out. Meanwhile, it seems worth reminding you that while there is no way to evaluate Brady without Bill because it's never happened, There is plenty of data to evaluate Bill without Brady, and for whatever this is worth, it's not a pretty picture. Bill Belichick coached exactly 100 games before Tom Brady's first start. He was 42-58. Most of that was in Cleveland, where he took over a Browns team that had made the playoffs 5 out of 6 years. He coached them 5 seasons. He had losing records in 4. By the way, Nick Saban was his defensive coordinator for those 5 years. And yes, the ending was a terrible situation with the team planning to relocate to Baltimore. You can factor that in however you like. In New England, Belichick was 5-13 with Drew Bledsoe, the #1 overall draft pick at quarterback. Then Brady took over. In his first start, he beat Peyton Manning and the Colts by 31 points as a double-digit underdog. He then went 13-3 the rest of the way and won the Super Bowl. He went on to average 28 points a game as a starter over his Patriot career. That is the most of any quarterback ever. In games started by anyone else, Belichick's teams have averaged 19. Brady won 6 playoff games in which his team allowed 28 or more points. No other quarterback has ever won more than 2. And finally, he made himself a salary cap bargain. In none of his championship seasons was Brady a top 10 cap hit in the league. So what does all of that actually mean? To me, it certainly doesn't take anything away from Belichick as a coach. I believe he's the greatest in the history of American team sports. But the facts are the facts. And if he is ever going to accomplish anything without Tom Brady, he's going to have to start doing it now. That is what I think. And with his show getting set to start in just a few minutes, we are 9 minutes away from First Take. Let us bring in the one, the only, Stephen A. Smith, for reaction. Steve, I'll give you the floor. What do you think?
Well, I think you're wrong. First of all, secondly, I thought you was waffling a little bit back there, because when you end your soliloquy by pointing out how great Bill Belichick is and he's the greatest in the world, I mean, are you Mike Greenberg or Mike Kellerman? I mean, I got to ask that question right now. Just messing with you here, Greeny. Here's the reality of the situation. Bill Belichick has won 74% of his games. And if we want, listen, I'm not one to take away anything from the greatness of Tom Brady. I understand it. I believe he deserves a boatload of credit. Obviously, he's the GOAT. All of that is true. But the flip side to it is that when you look at football, there are 3 phases. There's offense, there's defense, and there's special teams. I've never seen Tom Brady catch an interception. I've never seen him sack a quarterback. I've never seen him defend against the run. I've never seen him play special teams. And when you take all of those things into consideration, despite his greatness, you know, football, as we say, is the ultimate team sport. And you consider the multitude of responsibilities that comes with being a leader and the head coach of an NFL franchise. We can't ignore the greatness of Bill Belichick and just sit up there and say, excuse me, you know what? You only did this because of Tom Brady. Certainly it helped, but he also helped Tom Brady. Let's remember that. And over the weekend, Greeny, I was sitting at home, and I think it was on HBO. I was watching Belichick, Saban, The Art of Coaching. I mean, I got to tell you something, man. If you want to be motivated, if you want to be educated, if you want to really go into the minds of a coach and really, really learn, it's must-see TV, man, to listen to these two guys talk about all the nuances that come with winning. I just think that when you watch something like that, as great of an appreciation as I have for Tom Brady and as much credit as I want to give him, I can't ignore the greatness of Bill Belichick, because I understand more than ever before what elevated levels of responsibility comes with being the head coach as opposed to just the quarterback.
I don't disagree with what you're saying, but I would throw back that in his entire head coaching career without Tom Brady, Bill Belichick has had generally no success at all. So he may be a great motivator, and he is. He may be a great strategist, and he is. And obviously there are defense and special teams and everything else. But the reality is the reality. He won with Brady, and he's never won without him.
Well, let me tell you something right now. You're living evidence that, you know what, that you're wrong. And let me tell you why.
Okay.
Greeny, I happen to think that you're not just good at what you do. You're absolutely outstanding. But I think the thing that's been outstanding about you is that as great as you were 20 years ago, you were even better 10 years ago. You were better than that 5 years ago, and you're even better now. And so when you look at Bill Belichick and you love and you judge him on what he did prior to Tom Brady, are you telling me this man didn't grow? He didn't mature. He didn't evolve and elevate himself as a coach and as a leader in the National Football League? Are we really going to sit here and say that in the year 2020, because he had Tom Brady since 2001, all we have to go on is what he did prior to Tom Brady. And as a result, it doesn't count. We can't do that to that man. We all learn from our experiences. I'd like to believe we've gotten better. And I'd like to believe, just like Tom Brady has elevated himself and the Patriots throughout the years, so has Bill Belichick. And Bill Belichick is a better man and a better coach and a better leader now than he was 20 years ago. I can't sit there and judge that man based on what he did before Tom Brady to say, excuse me, only Tom Brady is why you are what you are. And as a result, we get to ignore how he has grown and developed as well. I can't do that to him.
But I have to leave it there because you have to go, and I'll be with you for the beginning of First Take. But this is a conversation I'd like to continue because I think there is more to be had. Stephen A., thank you very much. And we will see him live in about 4 minutes and change for the start of First Take. Meanwhile, Dan and Marcus, you heard the essay. Quick thoughts from both of you. Dan, I'll give you the first crack. Go.
Yeah, Greeny, the down barrel was outstanding, and I completely disagree with Stephen A., and because he points out special teams and defense, and maybe he's forgotten that Bill Belichick also had two Hall of Fame kickers in Vinatieri and Gostkowski, and look at the defensive guys that he had. I mean, Revis, Hall of Famer, Ty Law, Hall of Famer, Richard Seymour, I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer, but he's probably in the conversation, and Rodney Harrison, and Mike Vrabel, and Teddy Bruschi. I mean, like, he's had some Hall of Fame players on the other side of the field as well. So, like, yes, there's three phases to football, but having Hall of Fame players around is a big reason why there's been such profound success in all three phases, Greeny.
Marcus.
Tom, look, the question we're getting at is who's more responsible for the winning? Is it the coach or the player? Obviously, coaches need good players. If you don't execute, I don't give a damn who the coach is. If you don't have a baller out there, I don't care who the coach is, you ain't gonna win games. The players will always be more responsible for the winning. Now, coaches have to put them in a position to be successful and smart enough to put those guys in that same vein. And in football, we go at the quarterback because the win and loss record is on their resume as much as it is on the coach's resume. If Tom Brady does not execute over this 20-year period, we are not sitting here talking about Bill Belichick being the greatest coach ever. Maybe it's another quarterback. But if he doesn't execute, we are not talking about Bill Belichick being the greatest ever. If Kareem ain't at UCLA and Bill Walton, we ain't talking about John Wooden being the greatest ever. If Tim Duncan and David Robinson and Tony Parker ain't in San Antonio, we ain't talking about Pop arguably being the greatest ever. Phil Jackson, if Michael Jordan and Dennis Rodman and Scottie Pippen ain't there, we ain't talking about him being arguably the greatest ever. If Lombardi doesn't have Bart Starr, we ain't talking about the possibility of him being the greatest ever. If Walsh don't have Montana, we ain't talking about him being the possibility of the greatest ever. I don't give a damn who it is, G. If you don't have one of the greatest of all time players in the conversation, you ain't gonna be in the conversation as the greatest coach of all time.
I agree, and which is in every single case, which is why I don't understand why people want to take this one away from the player and give it to the coach. Okay, let's wrap up today with a smile on our face. We're asking for you these videos, hashtag rise and shine, and my friend Frank Caliendo has been good enough to take your suggestions and your requests and narrate a few of them for us. I think you will enjoy this.
Greeny, we got a bunch of requests for John Gruden, so I thought I'd stitch them all together. But first, why is there a Michigan football helmet behind me? According to my sources, at this particular time, it appears it's an Adam Schefter prop. Now let's get to some Gruden, man. Let's do some golf. Incredible Cinderella story. This unknown comes out of nowhere to lead the pack. Backswing, off the wood, a little Tiger Woods juggling, and it's in the hole! I tell you what, man, it only gets better than that with this guy just laying on a foam roller with the cat licking his head. It can't get any better than this, can it, guys? I tell you what, it just did. Damian Woody on social media breaking it down. This guy is incredible. He's the Dalai Lama of TikTok.
That is Frank Caliendo. He's got a ton of stuff up on Twitter, at Frank Caliendo. And Dan Orlovsky has a dog.
Look at this.
This is my
look
pup,
at this
man. Caliendo's killer.
Marcus.
We're going to meet Dan,
look
whole family,
pup. Everyone
and all
needs
his
to smile a little bit
by the time this quarantine is over.
All right.
We are out of time. This has been a lot of fun. Thanks for getting up with us. We'll see you back in Better Than Ever tomorrow. First Take starts now. Come on.